times and rejoice in the good times and rejoice in the down times and rejoice as much in the down times as you do in the high times. I'm telling you, you'll get to where the Apostle Paul was. Rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. In other words, repetition. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Now, if you didn't hear all of that last week, beware of dogs. We talked about some dogs you ought to be aware of. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. There are three things there you ought to be aware of, or beware of. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Do you ought to underline that phrase? Have no confidence in the flesh. Do not trust your flesh for nothing. Don't trust your flesh. Don't get to the place where you say, boy, I'm living. Boy, I'm really doing good in my Christian life. Boy, I tell you what, I'm really doing good. Lord, be proud of me. You be careful. You start putting confidence in the flesh and your flesh will fail you. Verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, and this is what the Apostle Paul says, it's not a contradiction. He says, if y'all want to compare resumes, if you want to do that, now I'm telling you, or Paul is saying, I'm telling you, don't have any confidence in the flesh, throw your resume out the window. God ain't interested in your resume. But if you do want to pull your resume out, I'll be glad to pull mine out. I'll be glad to pull mine out and see how we stand. Because if we are going to heaven on our goodness, then let me show you my record. And it's what he said. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. All right? So we're talking about, I mean, he would have made Mother Teresa look like a wicked woman. I mean, the Apostle Paul had it down now, I'm telling you. As an unsaved man, he was religious, but lost. He was a religious man, and so this is he goes through his resume. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. All Jewish boys are of the stock of Israel. Now, he was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. The first king came from the tribe of Benjamin. Very classy tribe there. An Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. A Pharisee. He was of he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, that's what he did. Now you have to understand, the Jews thought, persecuting the church, we got people thinking Jesus Christ, the Jews crucified Jesus Christ. And so now you got a bunch of people trusting in Christ, and Paul's like, no, we can't have that. Yeah. So he was persecuting the church, killing Christians. And touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I mean, you know, there we go. Verse 7, look here. But what things were gained to me? I mean, in other words, Paul says, hey, I got a good resume. I understand that. But the things that I counted gain, the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, this is where we got to last week. Notice this is what he said. He says this, look at my resume. And it looked real good until I met Christ. And when I met Christ on the road to Damascus, and that light shone down, Acts chapter number 9, that light shone down, and I'm sitting there blinded, and I said, what would you have me to do, Lord? When I met him, I counted my resume, and looked at his resume. Don't get excited or nothing. You're just missing the Democratic National Committee on television. Don't get excited. He said, I looked at my resume, I looked at his, I crumbled mine up, threw mine away, and looked at his, and I counted mine lost, his gain. That's what he said. And this is what he said. I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen, I resigned from the Sanhedrin. I mean, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I lost respect with my Pharisee friends. I mean, I no longer was invited to loopholes anymore. They'd never invited me anymore to the ribeye barn. I didn't get to go to my secret meetings on Monday nights and shake hands with everybody in a secret fashion. I mean, I lost everything. I counted it all lost when I met Christ. He said, it didn't bother me. I didn't care about them Monday night meetings anyway. When I saw Him, I just wanted to get to know Him. This is why Apostle Paul can rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Why? He saw something in Christ he'd never seen in anybody else before. And it's what he said. Look, there at the end. This is where we got to. I have suffered the loss, the end of verse 8 there. I have suffered the loss of all things. You know, he gave up all his resume. And do count them but... Y'all remember us talking about that last week? Does anybody know what dung is? Don't say it out loud. I wonder if the new versions have updated that word. How would you update that one in the modern? I mean, we need a modern, because that's an old Elizabethan word for waste. We need to update it. I wonder why they ain't never updated that one. Notice this. He said, I counted it all just waste. Just waste. I've wasted all of my time studying, trying to be on the Sanhedrin. I've wasted all my time. I just counted it as waste. That I may win Christ. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, the Apostle Paul's trying to win Christ. He's trying to be saved. Now, you see how someone could take that and prove. They'll pull this verse on you and say, look, the Apostle Paul wouldn't say he was trying to be saved. Look, he's trying to win. He's trying to work and win Christ. You see that? You see, they could use that. But my friend, the Apostle Paul is already saved. He's not trying to win Christ in salvation. Verse 1 says, finally, my brethren. He classifies himself as a brethren. If you're saved in this room, I'm saved. You're my brother in Christ. You ladies in this room that are saved, you're my sisters in Christ. I wouldn't call you a sister if I didn't think you're saved. I wouldn't call you a brother if I didn't think you were saved. Brother, that's what he said. My brethren, we're all saved. Well, down here it says, that I may win Christ. Well, I want to show you this. Look, hold your place. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Let me show you what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul's already saved, but now he wants to win Christ. Now, let's see right here. Verse 9:24, 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking about this, winning Christ. Now watch, I hope I get a little further than this, but I do want to explain this to you. In the Roman, the Colosseums, in the Greek games, you would have the king or the emperor, whatever you call him. He would be setting up in, you've seen them on different those type of shows where you have horse races. They're racing chariots, or there's two men out there with javelins, and they're trying to fight each other and pin one another to the ground or whatever. And what they're doing, they are trying their best to get the king to stand up on his feet and get him to look their direction and sort of give them one of these. They're trying to win the king's favoritism. And so the king is sitting over like this. He's sitting down. And he's sitting over there and he's watching. And they're out there beating the tire to one another. He's sitting there. And boy, the oven pins it down. One, two, three. And the other boy stands up. Boy, he's got his hand like this. And he looks up in that window. He looks up in that window over there. And the king does this. That boy he's proud. No. Not in a bad way. He got the favor of the king. He won the king. He's already in the race. He ain't trying to get in the race. He's in the race. He's trying to win the favor of the king. Paul said in Philippians, he said, I'm saved. But I want to be more than just saved. I want to win the race that he has set before me. And I want to be able for the king to stand up when we get to that place and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want him to be, and that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about, winning Christ. Has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. Has to do with service. Now, if you're going to be able to rejoice in the Lord, this is what he's talking about. Notice, and you may have already flipped back to Philippians, but at the end, the Apostle Paul said, one thing I don't ever want to be is a, you remember the word? Castaway. Have y'all ever, like us, we got toothbrushes laying all over the place, and we don't even know who half the toothbrushes belong to, except mine. I keep mine because I know where mine is. Everybody else just uses it and they'll throw it, and eventually you'll have a toothbrush that winds up a castaway that's not used anymore. Ladies, watch. How many times have y'all found an old toothbrush y'all don't hardly ever use no more? It's wore out, and you get it, and you clean the grout in the tile in the kitchen there. Y'all with me? Paul says, I don't want to be just a castaway toothbrush. I want to be one that's used for good. Not. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be an old garden hole that's propped up on the back of the barn back there. It's got cobwebs all over it that ain't never used. We've all got stuff like that laying around our house. Yeah, they're castaways. They just, and your wife says, won't you go clean up it? Well, I need that stuff. When's the last time you used it? Well, it's been several years, but I need that stuff. I may use it sometime. You ain't used it in 6 months. You ain't used it in a year. Hallelujah. Ladies, I'm giving y'all a good opportunity to say amen. And, I might need that. I mean, Tracy, she's got Dalton's first pair of socks he ever wore. First haircut, you got a piece of hair and it's I think Mama's got that on me. Got my first. That's a problem. She got my hair and it just all fell out of there. Hallelujah. Paul said, I want to win Christ. I don't want to be pinned on the ground and then they just drag me out and be a castaway. That's what he said. Now back to Philippians. I got to hurry here. Philippians. That I may win Christ. There's a comma at the end of win Christ, verse 8. Now, let me give you these right quick. I'm going to give them to you. You're going to think, when I say this, you're going to say, oh, no, we're going to be here forever. There are seven things. Seven things. Paul mentions seven things that you ought to desire. If you're a Christian, I'm going to give them to you real quick. Seven things. Well, it may not be quick, but we may not get all of them. Seven things you ought to desire to be a Christian. Number one is that I may win him. If you want to write it down, it's found in the end of verse 8, that I may win him. And it has nothing to do with salvation. We've already dealt with that one, so we already got one down. That was his number one goal. Number one, after you get saved, you ought to want to win Christ. Number two, he says this, and be found in him. Now, again, he's already saved. He's already in Christ. He's already in Christ, but notice the comma, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, there's a lot of people after they get saved, they act holier now, and they got their, you know, their standards, they're all proud, and they this, they tie their tie a certain way, and they wear a certain kind of shoes, wire rim glasses, they got all this, and they, hey, all that is their own righteousness. Paul says, I want to be found in him. Yes, I am in him, but I want the Lord to be finding me here, with clothed in his righteousness and not my own. Now, that's okay to have standards, all that kind of stuff, but you need to be doing it for the right reason. Do it because the Holy Spirit has led you that direction, and don't do it because so-and-so over there, at so-and-so church, they do that, and also, well, I need to do, you know, when I go over there, I need to do, you know, hey, do it for the right reason. Paul says, I'll be found in him when I'm found in him, that I'm not in my own righteousness. I'm in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is of God by faith. That's number two. Number one, that I may win him. Number two, that I may be found in him. Now, number three, this is what he said. Look at what he said. Verse 10. That I may know him. That's number three. Well, again, does Paul... He already knows the Lord. Paul says, no, this is different. All right, let me give the illustration. Let's say that you or I, somebody, all of us, we're in a burning building. Somebody comes in, one of them firemen or whatever, policemen, whatever, they come in, and you're knocked out, breathing in all that smoke, and you're knocked out, and you're fixing to die. Here they come in, drag you out, throw you over their shoulder, whatever. And they run out and bring you to safety. You wake up. You know, hey, that's Brother Billy Brooks done drug me out of there. But I can promise you this. That will not be the last time you try to stay in contact with him. A man that just saved your life? You telling me you're just going to shake his hand and just forget about it? You ain't going to go try to take him to lunch tomorrow and find out a little bit more about him, about his family? Yeah, I know who drug me out of the fire. It's the Lord. But now, I want to know him. Folks, I know Ronald Reagan. But I don't know him. I know him when I see him. Well, I mean, I ain't seen him lately, but... You understand what I'm trying to say? Paul says, I know the Lord. I ain't trying to know him in salvation. I want to know him. Get to know him better. That's what he said. If you're saved in this room, if you know him, then you ought to get to knowing him. That's the best way I know to do it. And if someone saved your life, I mean, what was that on Barney? Somebody saved Barney. Was it Barney saved life? And boy, he just worried the far out of him. Boy, he just worried him. Boy, this one saved my life. This right here, the one saved my life. This one, I mean, he aggravated just throughout everybody. Well, that's the way we ought to be about Christ. Hey, folks, do you realize Jesus Christ drug me out of the fires of hell and delivered me, set my feet on a solid rock, established my going? I want y'all to meet him, what he done for me. I know his family. I know his Holy Spirit. I know his Father, God the Father. I know his whole family. I just want to get to know him better. I want to know what he likes to eat. I want to know what it's like to drink. I want to know what he wants to do. Does he like to fish? Does he like to hunt? I want to know what he likes to do. I want to know him better than just meeting him and handshaking him. That's what Paul said. Let's see. Number four, this is what he said, that I might know him. That's number three. And the power of his resurrection. He said, I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. You say, now, wait a minute. In other words, Paul was saying this. He said, I want to be able to live as though I am on the other side of the resurrection as Jesus is now.
Yeah.
Guess what? If you're saved, and I know a bunch of you are. I hope all of you are, matter of fact. But if you are, you are to have a desire to live a resurrected life already now. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Preacher, that's blessing my soul. You ought to want to live. You ought to live as Jesus resurrected. New body, changed, different person. You ought to want to live a resurrected life. What was it Romans 6 says? Verse number 11 or so. He said that I may die to sin, but live unto God. Well, if you're dead to sin and you're going to live unto God, then somewhere in there, you're going to have to have a resurrected life. So if you're dead to sin and you've got to live unto God, then there's a resurrection in between dead and living. And Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to live in a resurrected life. Romans 12, you ever notice this? He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, saved people, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, wait. That's a sacrifice. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice is dead. Now, where are you going to get a living sacrifice? There must be a death. Dead to sin, sacrifice. But alive unto God. Living sacrifice. That's what he said. And Paul wrote that in Romans 12 too. Then number 5, he said this. He said, I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And then he says, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Uh-oh. Paul, now why in the world do you want to know the fellowship of his sufferings? Paul, you know what you're saying? As a Christian, you're like, I want to know him in his sufferings. Paul, slap yourself, son. Do you know what you're saying? Paul said, yeah, I know what I'm saying. Because Paul wrote this to Timothy, a young preacher boy. He told him this. He said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Paul knows that the suffering rewards that we get over there is going to be based upon how we suffer for him down here. Paul says, I want to win him rewards. I want to win Christ. I want him to say, well done, that good faithful servant. I want to know the power of resurrection. The only way to get rewards is live a resurrected life. He said, I want to know him. I want to know him better. I want to know him more. And I want to know the sufferings of Christ. I want to know the sufferings of Christ. Boy, you better not. Listen, don't go home and pray that unless you mean it. He also told Timothy, he said, we must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'll be honest, folks. I know you probably don't want to hear this on a Wednesday night, but we have the majority of Christians are a bunch of sissies.
Yep.
Hallelujah. I mean, they don't do, hey, them soldiers, hey, some of you guys that's in the, you've been in the Army, the Marines, or whatever, armed services, and some of you ladies or whatever, man, they send you through boot camp, they beat the tar out of you. Get you up at 5 o'clock in the morning, here, where we go, run 5 miles, come back. For what? So you'd be a good soldier. So you won't be a sissy. Now we got a bunch of preachers behind the pulpits, a bunch of Twinkies. They ain't been to boot camp. Somebody, mama gave them their certificate to preach. And they found a good paying church somewhere and they getting up there and telling how much everybody ought to love one another. And they ain't a bunch of sissies. That'd be good preaching on Sunday morning. We wouldn't. That's how we solve our seating problem. I'll preach this Sunday morning. I ain't going nowhere. A preacher called me a sissy. Paul said this. He said, I die daily. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's what he said. He said, I want to know the suffering. Why? Because that's where the rewards are based on. How you suffered for them. All right, I gotta go here. He said this. He said, I want to know the power of resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Now, this is what he said. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I ain't there yet. He said, but he wanted to live as though he was already there. He wanted to live down here as if he was already there. In other words, number six is that I may know his purpose for me. That's number six. That I may know his purpose for me. Watch this. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after. In other words, perfect. Now, let me give you this. The definition of perfect. You look in the Bible and try to find you a good definition of perfect. I know what some of you think. Some of you, that's sinless. That means sinless. You're perfect. You don't do any wrong. No. In the Bible, over there, let's see, Ephesians, just write this down in the margin of your Bible right there by the word perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 and following, it says, and he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the ministry, that we all come into the unity of the faith and so on and so forth. And then he says, this is why, for the perfecting of the saints, perfecting of the saints. You know why won't you perfected? It's so you won't be tossed to and fro. So you won't be as children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So if you're a perfected saint, and he says, I don't want you to be a child tossed to and fro, then what does perfect mean? If you're not a child, you're a mature adult. Not talking about, now listen, people look at me and say, well, I know you ain't mature. I asked my dad one time, I said, Dad, you think I'm going to heaven? I was 20 years old. I said, Dad, you think I'm going to heaven? He said, yep. Boy, I said, hallelujah. He said, because you have not reached the age of accountability yet. Anyway. Now watch what he said right here before we close. He said, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, mature. But I follow after. What am I following after? I'm following after maturity. I ain't got there yet, but I'm trying to get there. I ain't trying to get saved. I'm already saved. I'm trying now. I'm a child. I'm trying to get to a full-grown man spiritually. I'm trying to get to day six where God formed man and created him a full-grown man. From day one, salvation, I'm trying to get to day six. Let's see. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. All right, watch this. He said this. Paul said this. He said that I may apprehend that. What? What are you trying to apprehend, Paul? The reason I was apprehended of Christ Jesus is what I want to know. All right, let me write this like this. Why did God apprehend you? Let me bring her down again. Why did God save you? What did he save you for? Well, he didn't want me to go to hell. Well, okay, that sounds good. But look, what did he save you for? Paul said, I'm trying to get my hands around the reason. I'm still trying to figure out why God saved me. I can't figure it out. I want to know what is his will for my life. Lord, why did you save me? You saved me for a purpose. Did you save me to be a preacher? Did you save me what did you save me for? What is your will for my life? Why did you save me? He wanted to save you to take you to heaven? Well, look, if that was the only purpose, he'd have killed you when he saved you. There's another purpose, and Paul says, I want to apprehend it. I want to attain it. and find out why, I want to get my hands on the reason he got his hands on me. That's number six. I want to know his purpose for me. I want to know the reason he saved me. And listen, folks, if you want to know, you say, I want to know the will of God for my life. Okay, this is what you do. If you want to know the will of God for your life, you do what you know to do until he tells you to do something different. And you know as a saved person, you ought to read that Bible. You know as a saved person, you ought to pray. You know as a saved person, you ought to attend a good Bible-believing church. You know as a saved person, you ought to, amen, give your time and efforts and things for serving the Lord. You know that's the will of God. You ain't got to pray about that. You know that's the will of God. You don't have to pray about it. Let me pray and see if the Lord wants me to read my Bible. Yes, you don't have to pray about that. He wants you to read your Bible. Well, amen, I wonder if the Lord's will for me to pray for so-and-so. There are certain things you don't pray about. And so you continue to do what you know to do until God reveals it. And you keep reading that Bible, he'll reveal it to you through his word. That's how you find the will of God. And the last one is found in verse number 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I ain't got my hands around it yet. I don't have a clue. I don't know why he saved me. I don't know if he saved me to write 13 books of the New Testament. I guess he did. I mean, he inspired it. I don't know if he saved me to start all these churches. I don't know why he saved me, but I'm doing what he was. I haven't apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. All right, you say, preacher, what in the world do you think he's talking about there? I think he's talking about what he mentioned in verse 4 and 5 over there, talking about his resume. He said, I done forgot all that. I'm forgetting that. I used to be a member of the Sanhedrin. I forgot that. That ain't a big deal. I forgot it. Don't even look back at it no more. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those achievements that I did that didn't make for a hill of beans. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize. Prize. It's winning a race. Prize. Not so you could attain heaven. No, so you can win the approval of the King of heaven. I've already been saved by God's marvelous grace. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize. A mark. On your mark. Get set. Go. I press toward the mark. There's a finish line out there waiting on me. There's a finish line. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he said. Paul said, you want to know him? That's what he said. That I may press toward the mark. That's number seven. Seven things you ought to do or know or be about if you're saved. Paul said, that's the seven things that's most important to me. And the most important, number one, was winning Christ. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we'll finish hopefully that up. Next. Wednesday night. All right, we'll take time for some prayer requests real quickly. And I'll bring something else up to your attention, and then we'll...